They were having a good time, the three of them, wandering the corridors and shops of the Avalon Center Galleria that afternoon. Kate accomplished most of her shopping goals in the West Wing, and was now faced with the interesting challenge of getting Corwin and Utina to go off somewhere else for a while so she could buy their gifts. Each had ranged off alone at one point or another, probably to pursue similar goals, but Kate had always been with one or the other, and now she had to try and think of some errand she could send them both on. She was about to turn to Corwin and suggest that he show Utina the Valkyrie Fountain in Center Court when something oddly familiar caught her eye. She didn't notice it consciously. It merely fit an impression somewhere behind her eyes and made her realize she'd just passed them over something she'd seen before. She looked back over the area her gaze had just swept, wondering what it had been. She stopped making the suggestion in mid-sentence, which, admittedly, was not all that unusual for Kate, so it didn't get Corwin's attention for a few moments. In those few moments, he'd walked 5 paces past where she'd stopped walking as well, before he finally realized something was odd, stopped, and turned. Kate? Caitlin stood stock still, her face wearing a look of utter disbelief. Slowly, steadily, the color drained out of her face. Her hands went slack, and she dropped her Zatoichi and the shopping bags she held to the floor. Kate? Corwin repeated. His sister made no response. He turned, his eyes searching. Utina had gone on, unaware, her attention absorbed by a kiosk some way along the gallery which boasted a large collection of stuffed animals. Kate, still frozen in place, was beginning to tremble, her eyes filling with tears. "Utina!" Corwin snapped, his voice uncoiling through the space between them like the crack of a whip. Utina froze, her shoulders tensing, then whirled, the question already on her face. It was answered the instant she saw Kate, and she came running back. "What is it?" she asked. "What's wrong?" "I don't know," Corwin replied.
"C-c-c-Corwin?"
Kate whispered, her voice barely audible. He put his hands on his sister's quaking shoulders, looked her squarely in the face, and said, "Kate, I'm here. What's wrong?"
"Get me out," she said.
Utina started hurriedly picking up the dropped bags and sword.
"What's the matter with her?" she asked Corwin. "Is she epileptic or something? She's never shown any signs since I've been with her."
"No," Corwin said. "This is something else. I don't understand. Kate, please, what's wrong?"
Get me,
Kate said again, then took a breath and suddenly wailed, "Out!" Then she whirled, her paralysis broken, and hurled herself away from them in a dead run back toward the west end of the mall.
"Caitlin, wait!"
Corwin cried, starting after her. Utina tucked the Zatoichi under her arm, juggled the last of the bags into her hands along with her own, and followed. "She's heading for the street level," Corwin said to Utina as she caught him up. He had good wind, she noticed. He was running flat out and didn't pant when he talked, only paused for well-measured runner's breaths.
"You see if you can catch her. I'll go get the car."
Utina nodded. "Right," she replied, and they split up. Kate was half a block down Center Street by the time Utina caught up to her. Talking was of no use. Utina had to drop everything again and seize her panic-stricken, completely irrational roommate in a fierce embrace to stop her, nearly sending the two of them tumbling down the stairs into the center subway station.
"Kate, it's me. It's Utina," said Utina pleadingly as Kate struggled, her breath hissing through her teeth, her brown eyes totally blank. "I'm not going to hurt you. What's wrong?"
It sounded like Kate was trying to say, "Let me go," but she was so far from coherent that it was only a guess on Utina's part. A moment later, Corwin's long black car pulled up with a screech of plasteel-reinforced rubber on asphalt, and Utina bundled Kate into the back, collected the dropped things again, and climbed in after her. Corwin drove, grim-faced and silent, while Utina tried in vain to soothe her violently trembling, incoherently sobbing friend.
When they got back to 105, everyone else was out, off on their own pre-holiday errands. Kate, recognizing her surroundings as familiar, dashed inside, pelted up the stairs, and slammed her bedroom door behind her. At the bottom of the stairs, Utina turned to Corwin. "What the hell is going on?" she asked. "Search me," Corwin replied, so deeply troubled that her speaking directly to him failed to have its usual effect. "I've never seen her act that way before." They went up the stairs together. Corwin knocked on Kate's door and got no response but the muffled sound of his sister's awful, gut-wrenching sobs. "Kate?" said Utina. "Can I come in?" There was a long silence, and then, barely intelligible, "Only you. Utina turned to Corwin again. "I guess you'd better go, I don't know, shovel the walk or something." She shrugged apologetically. "I mean, sorry, but you heard her. I think she'd freak out again if we both went in." Corwin considered this and nodded. "Yeah, I think you're right. If you need me, I'll be downstairs. Something about this has me feeling like I should be keeping an eye out for something." Utina, who had that same feeling, clapped him gently on the shoulder. "Good guy," she said, and went quietly into Kate's room. Kate lay huddled at the head of her bed, curled into the smallest ball she could manage around the reassuring, soft solidity of 7. She looked up briefly to note Utina's entry, but then buried her face in 7's back again. The tatty tiger looked at Utina with his button eyes as if to say, "Any ideas?" "Kate, please," Utina said, climbing up to sit cross-legged at the foot of Kate's bed, facing her. "I've never seen you like this before, and frankly, it's scaring the hell out of me. Can't you tell me what's wrong?"
I have to go back,
Kate sobbed, her words barely understandable.
Have to get out of Avalon. Get Corwin. Have to go back to Earth.
It took considerable concentration for Utina to sort out what Kate was saying, between the worse-than-ever stuttering and the racking sobs, but she managed.
"Kate, we can't go back to Earth. The dorms are closed until January 8th.
"No,"
Kate replied, clutching 7 even tighter.
Have to sleep in the wedge. Anything.
She stopped, drew a deep, shuddering breath, and tried again.
Get away.
"Okay, look," said Utina. "You've got to calm down. There's nothing here that can hurt you, okay? I don't know what you saw that scared you so bad, but it isn't here, and it can't get here. Corwin's outside. I'm right here with you. Whatever it is, it can't get to you. Not while we're around."
Kate began to shiver violently.
Sure,
she faltered, bitter fatalism mingling with the terror in her voice.
Can you stay with me forever?
"If we have to," Utina replied flatly, her face grim. In this, even though she had known him for a little less than 24 hours, she felt perfectly qualified to speak for Corwin. Kate looked up at her sharply, saw the unwavering determination in her bright blue eyes, and reached out a trembling hand. Utina took it, and Kate pulled her down, so that they were lying face to face on their sides, with their hands linked over 7's ragged head.
I've never told anyone about this,
Kate murmured haltingly.
Utina's bald declaration of loyalty seemed to have broken the grip of panic on her, but she was still frightened, still trembling, her voice still more broken than usual.
Not even Dad. He thinks I left New Avalon because of the music program at the W.
She took another shivery breath, closed her streaming eyes, and went on.
I really left because of him.
Utina frowned, confused. Who? Your father?
No,
Kate replied hurriedly, shaking her head vigorously, eyes going wide.
God, no. No.
Well, who then? Utina wondered. Kate took another deep breath, closed her eyes, and drew their linked hands to her face, pressing their knuckles against her lips. Utina felt the stricken girl's breath flow hot over the back of her hand. After a moment, Kate seemed to have gathered herself enough to continue. She relaxed her arms, letting their hands fall back to Seven's head, and said in a tiny, hollow whisper,
Mike Carpenter.
Utina blinked. Mike Carpenter? She repeated, and Kate stiffened.
Okay, sorry.
Utina hurried on, trying to make her voice as soothing as she could.
I won't say it again. I'm sorry. It's just... a guy? Did this to you? It's a little hard to believe. You stared down Sionji without a blink, and he's one scary guy when he gets going.
It was the spring before last, Kate said haltingly.
I was in the eighth grade. He's 2 years older. We met at a baseball game. I was in the pep band. He asked me out. I was flattered. He was a popular guy. Went to Koopman High. For a while, it was nice.
Utina felt her blood begin to heat toward boiling. She thought she knew the rest of this dance, knew it far too well. She tried not to tighten her grip on Kate's hands in involuntary reaction to the emotions that were starting to build inside her, forced herself to stay calm and soothing and work out the rest of the story. The rest of it was just exactly what she thought. The charm and solicitude steadily eroding into greedy, grasping control. Suggestions becoming less and less veiled commands. Eventually there had to come the crisis, where his will met Kate's head-on, and hers would either crumple or hold.
Well, one day toward the end of the summer, he said he wanted me to give up music, said Kate softly. Because it took up so much of my time. I said I wouldn't. He grabbed my arm and told me it wasn't a request. I yanked my arm away and told him to go to hell.
She closed her eyes and gathered herself for a long time. And when she spoke again, it was with her eyes still closed, in a tone of voice that might have meant she was digressing.
When I came to, she said, it was me that was in hell.
Utina closed her eyes, squeezing out hot, stinging tears in the process, drew in a deep, deep, hissing breath through her nose, and blew it out again slowly. Her own hands shook a little as she fought for composure. I'm no prude, Kate said in that same quiet, digressive tone. But I didn't want. Not then. Not the first time. Not like that. Not with him. I fought. From the instant I came to, God, I fought. If I'd had my blade back then, I'd have killed one of us. At that moment, I didn't much care which one.
Utna couldn't stand it anymore. She disengaged her hands from Kate's, moved Seven gently out of the way, and pulled her roommate close. As close as they had been on waking in that motel room in Toronto. She wrapped herself around her tormented friend, linking their legs, combing her fingers through Kate's long brown hair.
God, Kate, she whispered. I'm sorry.
You weren't there, Kate pointed out.
That's what I'm sorry for, Utna replied.
Oh. Kate declined to comment, instead remaining silent for a moment before going on in a softer, brittler voice.
He never touched my face. I managed to hide it from Mom and Dad. Said I was just having a bad month. Lying to Dad hurt almost as much as... But I knew if I told him, he'd kill Mike.
There was a soft knock at the door. Go away, said Utna. Came Corwin's voice. Sorry, but... What is it? Corwin opened the door, put his head in, and blinked at the tableau he found. Several possible explanations flitted clearly across his face before he found the right one, at which point he stepped fully into the room, then hesitated, agonized by indecision.
Kate? He whispered.
Kate disengaged herself from Utna's arms enough to turn on her back and sit up a little.
Yes, Corwin, she said.
Are you okay? He asked.
No, Kate replied honestly.
Is there anything I can do?
I'd only have to ask you not to do it, Kate murmured, looking down.
Huh? Said Corwin. Confused, he looked at Utna, who had propped herself up on one elbow. She'd been crying, too. He could see that clearly, even in the dim light, and it drove an icicle into his chest.
What's wrong? He asked plaintively.
It's kind of a long story, Corwin, said Utna.
What did you need to talk to Kate about?
Her old boyfriend from last year is outside. Kate stiffened, her eyes going wide.
I told him he should get lost, but he won't go. He tried to come inside, but I got the door shut on him. But he's still out there. Keeps saying he wants to talk to Kate. Should I, make him leave?
Utna scowled, then swung herself decisively off the bed, stood up, and wiped her eyes with her sleeve. That done, she tugged her jacket straight with an angry jerk and said to Corwin in a flat, commanding voice, "Stay with your sister, Corwin. I'll take care of this." Then she strode from the room, fists clenched. Corwin watched her go, then turned to Kate. She was getting up as well, her face stricken. Corwin desperately wanted to know what was going on, but he knew Kate well enough to know that he'd never get an explanation from her in this state,
So instead he followed Utina's instructions and stayed by her side as she followed her roommate's path down the stairs.
"What's going on?" Nall inquired sleepily as he emerged from Corwin's room on the second floor. "Kate, are you crying?"
"Be quiet, Nall," said Corwin, and the tension in his voice silenced the little dragon instantly. Nall took up his station on Corwin's shoulder and said nothing at all, his senses alert for trouble. Downstairs, Utina put on her shoes, then opened the door to see a young man of perhaps 16 or 17, standing rangily on the top step. He made as if to enter the house when she opened the door, but she strode right on out without breaking stride, ramming her shoulder into his chest and slamming the self-locking door behind her. Thrown off balance, he stumbled backward and ended up sort of hop-dancing all the way down to the bottom of the steps. He was a fairly big fellow, long arms and legs, sturdily built, looked like he might know what to do with himself in a fight. He was well-dressed, in dress shirt, letterman's jacket, clean jeans, decent shoes, and his blonde hair was cut and combed tidily. He was handsome, a particular sort of smooth, refined, smug handsomeness which reminded Utina unpleasantly of days past.
Good. That would make this easier.
"Who are you?" he asked. She descended the steps, and as she came down each one, he backed away, until she had him halfway to the street.
"Mike Carpenter, I presume," Utina said, keeping her voice even.
"That's right," he said calmly. "I think I asked you a question."
"You don't get to know my name," said Utina. "You'd only get it dirty. What the hell do you think you're doing here?"
Carpenter looked irritated, folding his arms across his chest.
"I came here to talk to my girlfriend, if that's any of your business," he said.
"Your girlfriend doesn't live here," Utina told him flatly. "Beat it."
"You don't live here," he replied. "Maybe you should be the one who beats it."
"I'm going to beat something if you don't get away from this house," Utina said.
"I don't know what side of whose bed you got up on this morning, baby," Carpenter replied with a tone of arrogant dismissal. "But if you're bent on making trouble, I can oblige. You want to wrestle and see who's stronger?"
"Baby." He called her baby.
"Good. That would make this easier still."
She took another step toward him, but this time he didn't back away. So much the better. She was actually stepping toward something else anyway.
"It's not about stronger," said Utina calmly. "It's about smarter. Now go on. Caitlin doesn't want to talk to you, you son of a bitch. She never wants to see you again in her life, and if I have anything to say about it, she never will. Get out of here before you get hurt. I'm through warning you."
Carpenter looked her up and down, from angry eyes to saddle shoes and back again, then threw back his head and laughed at her.
"Baby, you're out of your cute little mind," he said. "Come here and let Uncle Mike teach you some manners."
He reached out one big hand for her, surprisingly fast, but she moved faster. Her left foot flicked over and then stomped down on the scoop of the snow shovel Corwin had left sitting by the side of the walk. The shovel levered up straight into her outstretched left hand, and she whirled it and clobbered him with a great resounding blong. He staggered back, his hair knocked askew, and shook his head. Mike Carpenter's calm, languid charm didn't survive the transition to mussed hair, bloody face, and murderous eyes.
"You shouldn't have done that, baby," he murmured, wiping at his bloody nose with his sleeve. "Now I'm going to have to take you apart, teach you a real lesson."
Utina spun the shovel in her hand, gripping it just above the scoop with one hand and just below the Y of the handle with the other.
"We'll see," she said. "So what's the deal?" Carpenter asked as he lunged.
Utina slipped out of his path, gave him a poke to the gut with the handle as he passed, then swung around him and got between him and the house again. Out of the corner of her eye, she caught a flicker of motion at the living room window.
"I hope to God Corwin did what I told him," she said to herself, "because if this son of a bitch gets past me, it'll all be up to him."
"What the hell's going on?" Nall demanded.
"I have no idea," Corwin replied.
He was holding his trembling half-sister's hand. As she looked out the window with avid, horrified eyes at the proceedings, she gripped his as though it were her only anchor to reality.
"So what do we do?" Nall went on.
"I have no idea."
"Well, you're a big help."
"No, scratch that. I have one idea. Get ready for a fight. I don't know what's happening or why, but he wants in here and Kate doesn't want him. If that son of a bitch gets past Utina, it'll all be up to us."
"What's the deal?" Carpenter repeated as he and Utina circled each other, trading feints and never managing to make any real contact. "Where'd Katie find a tough chick like you to watch out for her? Did she turn dyke at that fancy school of hers?"
Utina crossed him up on his next lunge and sent him sprawling back into the snowbank on the left side of the walk. Her only reply was the soft, angry sound of her breath through her teeth.
"That must be it," Carpenter nodded to himself as he pulled himself up out of the snow. He was deceptively quick on his feet, had some training of some sort or another. He feinted toward the house, getting her to commit her defense in that direction, then swung himself and struck from the side. She got the shovel up, and his hand smashed right through the handle just above the scoop, narrowly missing her own hand. Undaunted, she ducked under his next wild swing, then slammed the scoop into his face and let it go. It clattered to the walk as he stumbled backward.
"Yeah," he said, "must be. She was lonely at that place, so far from home, and you moved right in, huh? Is that it, baby? You took advantage of my little Katie, all homesick and lonely?"
Utina's face flushed scarlet. She had no words for the spurt of rage that hideously hypocritical assertion unleashed deep within her. She just gave an inarticulate scream of fury, then struck, spinning the broken shovel shaft into her hand and driving the jagged end into his middle. It didn't pierce him, but it drove the wind from him and sent him to his knees, coughing and clutching at himself with one hand while he flailed the air with the other, trying to get hold of her. She jumped over his flailing hand, completely over his body, twisting in midair to land behind him, facing his back. Locking the Y-handle of the shovel shaft into the crook of her right elbow, she whipped the round wooden rod under his chin and hauled it back with her left hand. He gagged, grabbing at it, trying to pull it away. Leaning down, she murmured into his ear,
"You're only going to survive this because I keep my promises. Remember that."
He pawed at the shaft for a few moments longer, then subsided, slackening. She held it a few seconds longer, stomped a foot down on his ankle to be sure he wasn't faking, then let him go. He collapsed onto his face on the walk, his resumed breathing stirring little puffs of residual snow near his face. Utina stood over him, panting, sweat running down her back inside her jacket. There was a flicker of motion beside her, and she whirled to see Martin Rose standing there, a mingled look of puzzlement and severity on his face, as if to say, "What the hell's going on here, and why don't I think it can possibly be good?"
"You're some kind of cop, right?" said Utina.
"Of a sort," Rose replied.
"Then get this miserable bastard out of my sight," Utina said, "before I go back on my word and kill him."
"At the risk of seeming dense, why would you do that again?"
"Sorry, I can't say."
Giving her a scowl, Rose knelt down next to the inert form, turning him over and tisking at the purple bruise that ran across his throat.
"Dangerous game, using that hold."
"I wasn't playing," Utina said.
"Say, wait a second. I know this guy. He used to date Kate. She went to Earth because he dumped her summer before last."
He turned, looking up, but not far. He was almost as tall as she was, even on his knees, at Utina with a, "Why don't I think I like this at all?" look on his face.
"Didn't she?"
"That's not for me to tell," Utina repeated, knowing that in the process she was telling him anyway.
Martin's face darkened. He regarded the unconscious shape on the ground for a moment longer, then straightened, effortlessly slinging the young man over his shoulder in the process.
"We'll talk about this later," he said to Utina, and then disappeared by leaping straight up into the air, vanishing into the overcast.
There was a curious sort of ratcheting noise, and then the snarling scream of afterburners fading away into the afternoon calm. Utina stood looking after him for a moment, then dropped what was left of the shovel, shook herself, and went to knock on the locked front door. Corwin answered it, his face wearing that same look that mingled frustration, confusion, and desperate concern. "Where's Kate?" Utina demanded, still breathing hard with the lingering rage that rattled around inside her. "She ran back upstairs when she saw Hammer," said Corwin. "I sent Nall after her. Had to let you in." For a second, she looked as though she were going to yell at him for leaving Kate's side. Then she realized that he was right. Nall could hardly have opened the door for her, and instead nodded, hurriedly removed her shoes, then ran past him. He slammed the door, deadbolted it, and followed. Utina's already fairly high regard for Corwin went up another notch as they climbed the stairs. She could almost feel the terrible curiosity burning inside him, but he kept silent, not allowing himself to pester her with the questions that crowded his mind. Instead, he simply followed, ready to do whatever he was asked in aid of his sister. Kate's door was shut, but couldn't bar the sounds of fresh sobbing from the hallway. Utina knocked, got no answer, and slowly opened the door a little. "Kate?" Caitlin looked up from where she lay huddled on her bed and beckoned without speaking. Utina slipped inside, then looked back at Corwin, the question on her face. Kate weighed it for a moment, then nodded, and Utina guided him inside as well. Utina climbed up on one side of Kate, propping her up into a sitting position. Corwin stood next to the bed, his hands working uselessly, unable to do much more than not ask the questions ringing in his mind. Nall, who had been perched on Kate's headboard with a terribly worried expression, jumped down and climbed up on Kate's shoulder, pressing himself, he hoped reassuringly, against her neck. "It's all right, Kate," Utina told her softly. "It's all right. I kept my promise."
"Not all right," Kate replied miserably. "Marty knows, doesn't he?"
Utina nodded.
"I think so. I didn't tell him, but I think he worked it out for himself."
Kate shook her head, moaning in despair.
"Come on, Kate, it's okay," Utina insisted. "It had to come out sooner or later. You couldn't keep it all sealed up inside you forever. It's not going to change the way he feels about you."
Corwin's face was starting to shift from puzzled concern to dreadful concern.
"Utina,"
said Kate in a small voice.
"Yes, Kate," Utina replied. "Tell Corwin," Kate said. I can't say it to him now, but he deserves to know."
She reached up and scratched at Nall's ears.
I'll tell Nall," she murmured. "But please, you tell Corwin."
"Are you sure?" Utina asked. Kate nodded. Utina patted her shoulder, got up, and led Corwin into the hall, closing the door behind them.